noticed that the people had been coming to Jesus to be healed and to hear his word from authority. As he healed the people and as his fame spread throughout the region, as we heard last week, the people of Israel were looking for their deliverance from Rome, to have their own king who would lead them into victory as a people and a nation. And the crowds were all coming to Jesus, and you'll notice that when Jesus had the biggest crowd ever, if you were here last week, we were talking about crowds gathering, and the paralytic couldn't get into the house, and crowds were gathering. When you come to Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has the biggest crowd ever, and his name is spreading throughout the area. When the biggest crowd is there, he gets told, he goes up to the mountainside, or the mountain ranges, to give them what? Words, teaching. And it's the teaching focus of the kingdom of God that Jesus takes this opportunity to preach and to teach. Not to do some great crusade, healing crusade, but to teach about the kingdom of God and how his people are to live. If there was ever a time for God's people to listen to God's word, it is always. And therefore it is for us today. And as God speaks through Jesus, you will notice in Jesus' message that there is a lot of talk about how God's kingdom kids, if I can use that phrase, are to behave and respond towards others when they're angry, or when giving financially, or when praying. We'll also notice that there's a lot of talk about judging others and how God judges us according to the behavior which we extend towards others who have sinned against us. There's a lot about that in this world now. There's a lot about faith in Jesus rather than faith in ourselves. In fact, the very verse that I was going to preach from this morning is blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. We'll come back to that. There's a lot of talk also about faith in God and his loving provision. God's provision towards those who seek first his kingdom. My question this morning is, are we seeking first his kingdom? Or are we only seeking first his kingdom in areas that are pleasing to us? There's also warnings and promises to all of the children. You could also say of the Sermon on the Mount that if Jesus was to speak to us in our very personal need right now, so if Jesus was to come here right now and give us something that he could leave with us when we go to heaven, that would address all the issues of life, both what we face today and tomorrow before we go to be with the Lord in the future, then I believe he would give us this sermon. In fact, he has. That's why I believe under the inspiration of the Spirit, Matthew was to write this down so we could return to it over and over. You know that when we're really looking for help, many people who have come to the end of themselves, and I know this, you know, as a young Christian, I know many people have said this to me, they are so frustrated with what God is doing in their life that they just grab their Bible and just flip it open and go, God, speak to me, because I'm so desperate, I just don't know where to turn. And they look down there and they read a verse, and they're like, how am I supposed to interpret that? You know, I suppose it's going to be interesting. Out of sheer frustration. But if you're feeling that way this morning, or if you're ever feeling that way and you don't know where to go to God, there isn't any place in your soul. Open up to the Spirit of God. I mean, if you're serious, if you want to hear from God, open up to the Spirit of God and start to read it carefully and slowly and think about it. Because God will speak to you through that. There is so much in it. About our prayer, about our attitude. I read through it again this week. I couldn't help but there's a number of things that jumped out and remind me of various situations. Families, personal, spirit, world, my own heart. By the time I got to the end of it, I thought, yes, every month we have a meditation on there, and that's a patient. God does speak for those who have great expectations of him, and he will not disappoint us. And so as we go through and I preach this greatest sermon ever preached, this morning I want you to be listening. Listen to God. If you believe there is a God. And if you believe that He sees. And if you believe that He's merciful enough to speak to you this morning, even through this sweet place. So if you'd like to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, I'll preach for the last few weeks, the rest of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, you can just listen to it if you like. Now there will be things that God impresses upon our hearts by the Spirit this morning. But because I'm preaching this and going on, you would mind and go to the next thing. But I want you to take special note of the Holy Spirit ministers to this morning through His Word. Because as He does, He's showing you something that He wants you to go back to and think about. And not only think about, but pray about and apply and do something about this book. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. And news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain and demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand that gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you've heard it said that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And everyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to the judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary, who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You've also heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it has been put to it. Or even by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one of you white or black. All you need is to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You've also heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go within 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've also heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Now be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Because if you're giving what you've done in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then you pray. Do not be like the hypocrites. For they like to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. So they are telling you, they have received your reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, go to the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of your words. Do not be like them. Well, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from that evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I am still answering. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field, they do not labor or spin. Yet I say this, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like a And instead of how God closed the grass for healing, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more close you? Oh, you poor little people. Do you not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Also, do not judge, for you too will be judged. From the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give your dog what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, and they trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Look out for those false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by the fruit, you will recognize it. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Away from me, you evil doers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Thank you.